God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Last week, we talked about God, our King, coming to us. And today, I'd like to talk with you about us coming to God. In other words, I'd like to talk with you a bit about our journey to God, our walk with Him, our run to Him, our daily coming to God. And especially about being careful in it. Are you careful in your walk with God? Are you discerning and wary and watchful? Are you alert and zealous in your walk with God daily? Let's talk about that today, our Christian journey to the realms above and about being careful in it as Christians. What does God teach us about that today by His word? For our help in Christ, our journey to God, our walk with Him through this life, and being extremely alert in the midst of it. What can we say? Well, first thing I would like to share with you about that is what we said last week is 100% true, that it's really God who comes to you, amen, to save you, and He comes to you every day, and that is 100% true. While that is true, it's also true in the scriptures, that God, our God, calls us to come to Him. And that is our responsibility, not only to come to Him for salvation, but also our great obligation to come to Him every day in our journey with Him. Let's take a look at that in the scripture. Is it really God also calling us to come to Him? Is that our part too? Look at Isaiah 55. He says, "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Incline your ear and come to me here that your soul may live." So there it is in the Old Testament. We are called to come to Him. That's our responsibility. Look at the New Testament. We have the same kind of thing. Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. I will give you rest. Come to me," He says many times in the scriptures. You can look over here at the apostles. Peter says the same thing. 1 Peter 2, verse 4, he says, "Come to Him, to that living stone rejected by men, but in God's sight chosen and precious. Come to Jesus." And then the end of the Bible, the very end of the Bible, ends like this. "The Spirit and the bride say, come," Revelation 22. "And let him who hears say, come. And let him who is thirsty, come. Let him who desires take the water of life without price." So would you say there's a responsibility on our part to come to God? Yes, for salvation. And yes, even really every day of our lives and our walk with Him, to come to Him. Because it is our journey through this world as Christians to the realms above. Once we're saved, the journey starts, and we are saved and we're free and we're marching to Zion upwards. We're running the race with Him and to Him to the prize, which is the kingdom above. So the next question we have then for today is, how does Jesus want us to come to Him though? What kind of spirit do you think and attitude and mindset does He want us to have in our journey and our walk with Him through these lower places to the prize above? Well, His answer is, "My people, listen carefully. I want you to follow me closely and to be wary and watchful all the way in your walk with me." Amen? Let's take a look at that in the scripture, see if that's really true. Does He want you to be circumspect, zealous, alert, always looking everywhere about you to make sure that your steps are in with Him close the whole way home? Well, in Deuteronomy 8, we read this, Old Testament, "All the commandment which I command you this day, you shall be careful to do," He says, "that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which I swore to your fathers." So what is the word there? Careful. Good, Vivian. Let's all say that one after Vivian. Careful. He also says here in Ezekiel, "I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, and be careful to observe my ordinances." So that's certainly Old Testament. We read there, "Don't swerve to the right or to the left," Proverbs 4. "Turn your foot from evil. Take heed to the path of your life. Then all your steps will be secure." Say the word, "take heed."
Take heed.
Sound like Biden there. One word, "take heed." No, actually, two words. "Take heed." Two words. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That wasn't in my manuscript, but you know, I go with it, right? What does it say in the New Testament with respect to being careful and alert on your journey? Okay? Mark 13, Jesus says, "Take heed that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray." What's the word there? The words, "take heed," says Jesus, to what? To your path, to your following closely to me. You've got to watch this super carefully. Very alert, he says. Also, we read, he says, "But watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all the things that will take place at the end of time, and to stand before the Son of Man." The word there, "to watch at all times," agrupneo. Can I read that to you? He says, "I want you to abstain totally from sleep. I want you to be 100%, completely, totally awake. Not physically, I mean, you got to sleep sometimes, but spiritually, at all times, completely, eyes open, alert," is the call of God to us. We also read this in Ephesians 5. Paul says, "Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil." We have to pass through an evil world. And he says, "Akrabas, carefully walk." The word there is to be accurate, to be alert, to be diligent, to be circumspect, to be exact, and really to keep your eyes peeled, to keep your eyes sharp on the road before you. Are your eyes sharp on the road before you today? We can all tend to be kind of lazy, right? Myself included. We can get hazy. We can drift. God says, "Wake up. Be sharp. Be alert." And let's take a look shortly now why we need to be zealous and alert in our journey. Why do we have to be zealous, attentive, alert, paying attention carefully to our every step with the Lord through this life? I mean, after all, aren't we saved by grace? Isn't that true? Said that last week. 100% total saved by grace, 100%, by grace alone. Isn't God going to carry you through this life then? Isn't salvation entirely his work and not our work? Aren't we safe in Jesus Christ once we've believed in him? Why can't we just sit back, relax, take it easy, not worry about it so much, not pay careful attention? Why is God so urgent to us, saying, "Keep alert, keep alert, keep alert," in the scriptures? While it's true that we are saved by grace and grace alone, friends, and we are safe in Jesus, that is true. It's also true, friends, entirely, that we are not entirely out of the woods yet. Amen? You know, we are most marvelously saved, and we are free and saved in Jesus Christ. We're not under sin. We are a free people, but we're not entirely safe yet. What do I mean? Let's see if I can share a little illustration with you, hopefully to make this clear. World War II. One of my favorite stories or events from World War II was the great rescue mission led by Lieutenant Mucci, an Army Ranger, to break the American prisoners out of a Japanese prison camp. Do you remember that story? The Americans were captured at the beginning part of the war in the Bataan Peninsula in the Philippines in 1942. And they were marched 65 miles by the brutal Japanese up to prison camps, one especially called Campana Tawan. And it was brutal. They were beaten, they were starved, they were disease-ridden, they were shot, they were chained up. It was a horrific hellhole to be in. And they were there 3 years. And they basically were seemingly left for dead. They thought they were lost and forgotten, and there was no hope for them. But you know what? Back at home, amongst the Allies, the United States, there was a plan hatched to rescue these prisoners out of that prison camp. And it was launched January 1945, Lieutenant Henry Mucci, Army Ranger, to set them free. And he went in, sneaking behind enemy lines, with 121 other Army Rangers and some Philippine scouts and warriors. And they snuck through the jungle, penetrated through the Japanese area, thousands of soldiers there, and they made their way all the way to this prison camp at night. And in a coordinated attack, just at the right time, they let it go and unleashed, and they took over the camp very quickly with great violence. And they set the prisoners free, took off their chains, opened the doors, and if you will, Mucci stepped in effect and said, "Hello, I'm here to save you. Get up and come with me and follow me to freedom." What an amazing story, amen? You can watch it. It's a movie called The Great Raid. It's also on a movie. Now, let's just stop there for a moment and consider that story. Once they were freed, once they were out of the prison camp, they breathed their first fresh air in 3 years. Hope was now shining bright. Let me ask you, would that be a time for you, if you were the American prisoners, set free, under this Army Ranger, being let out, is that time for you to sit down, relax, and have a picnic? Is that a time for you to kick back and say, "Cool, I'm out, let's have a party"? Or is it a time for you to keep your eyes peeled and on the sharp lookout? You are completely freed, you are safe with him, but you're not yet entirely out of the danger zone. Amen? There were thousands upon thousands, literally, of Japanese troops infesting those jungles and those roads before they got all the way home. Freed, yes. Joyful, yes. Safe with the Army Ranger, yes, but not out of danger, for sure. Let's consider our story. We'll pick up Mucci's story later. What is our story? Well, you and I also were prisoners, amen? I mean, completely captured by the enemy forces. We were beaten up by the devil, thrown into a prison camp of sin. It's really a death camp, and we could have been lost there forever without hope. But far away, up above us, in the heavenly places, at the throne, a plan was hatched, even before the foundation of the world, to rescue you, to set you free. And it wasn't Mucci, it was Jesus Christ sent, the great Army Ranger, if you will, of heaven, to come in here and sneak behind enemy lines, to penetrate all the jungles of this world, to go all the way to the cross, and in a moment at night, in a fearsome attack, with great violence and power, to destroy the enemy at the cross. Indeed, sin's power he broke there, and he got rid of the devil. He disarmed him, and he came to your prison cell and said, more or less in so many words, "Here I am, Jesus, I'm here to set you free. Get up and come with me to freedom." Isn't this marvelous? That's the gospel. That's exactly what has truly happened in reality for us in Jesus Christ. Now, that being said, is it time for us outside the camp to journey with Jesus, to sit down and say, "Let's just have a party. Let's not keep our eyes peeled. Let's let down our guard. Let's not be alert and cautious and watch our every step"? Should we just wander away into the jungle and not pay careful attention to follow our captain and Lord? Well, that would be indeed dangerous for us, to be sure. You know, that the territory we're passing through right now, this world, I'll tell you, has thousands upon thousands, no, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of enemy forces infesting every jungle and nook and cranny of this life. We've got our own sin traitor inside of us, our old sin nature. The devil, Peter says, he's like a lion, think of it, prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. We're to be alert and resist him, firm in our faith, says Peter. It's the great call of duty to us as soldiers set free. We have the world that we're passing through, which is enticing us at every turn, saying, turn in here, depart, go in a different direction, don't follow closely, stop paying attention, look at us. They're like camouflaged Japanese soldiers whispering to us from the woods and from the nearby bushes, saying, turn this way and follow us. And we have to be on guard. The danger is this, that if we're not careful and alert, as happens to many, we could be captured and also go back to camp. And that would be a fearsome thing to go back to camp. Therefore, Jesus says, be alert. If you would with me obtain the ultimate land of the free and the home of the brave, Jesus says, you got to stick close to me. I will take you there, but you stick close and be alert. Amen? Let's consider for a moment, are we really in the danger zone, though? You know, some church bodies are going to say, once saved, always saved. Have you heard of that one? Once saved, always saved, eternal security? Namely, that once Jesus saves you, that you can never be lost. It's impossible to ever be captured again. It's impossible to go back to camp. That's the teaching of many. In other words, they're saying in so many words, it's not necessary for you to keep alert. But at this point, it's important for us to say instead, what's the scripture say? Should we listen to men or should we listen rather to the word of God and our call of duty as soldiers to watch and keep alert? Let's see what the Bible says. Mark 13, once again, Jesus says, take heed that no one leads you astray. Say the words, take heed. He says, for many will come in my name and say, I am he, and they will lead many astray. What's that mean to you when it says, Jesus says, they will lead many astray? Many will not be alert. Many will be captured. Many will be brought back to camp. They'll be led astray into the jungle and overcome. So you be alert. Look at what he says in Luke 21 again. He says, but watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. You know, if you don't watch, which is the beginning part of the verse, you won't have strength to stand in the time of trouble. You got to be alert that you have strength through prayer. Look at this one. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. You know, we all want to think this world is just, you know, cake and ale and sunshine and roses. That's the world we're heading to. That's America above. That's when you get home to Kansas after the war. This is the Japanese jungle, if you will. This is not time to let down your guard, but to be alert. Have people in the scripture, friends, fallen from freedom, gone back to camp? Is there any example of that in the scriptures? Well, if you look over here at Philippians, Paul says, Philippians 3, verse 17. He says, brothers, join in imitating me and mark those who so live as you have an example in Christ. For many, many of whom I've often told you, in other words, my previous friends, many of whom I've often told you and now tell you even with tears, live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Who turned back in the scriptures? We hear also in 1 Timothy 1, by rejecting conscience, he says, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith. Does that sound like destroying your freedom? Among them, Hymenaeus and Alexander. He even names a couple of people. And Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. In other words, it's possible at least to desert, to wander from Christ, to be captured again, and go back to camp. Does anybody want to go back to camp? Remember what it was like back there? Be alert, Jesus says. Have I known people in my own life who have turned back from following Christ? Well, yeah. There was a woman I knew in Baltimore. I shared the gospel with her. She came to faith. A short time thereafter, she went back to camp. Sad to say, I hope maybe she was rescued again, but she went back. I knew a man once in Florida that I shared the gospel with, and he came to faith, and he's so joyful. He's free. But you know what? The enemy whispered to him, yeah, you're saved, you're free, congratulations. But you don't really need to go to church this week because you're free. Just skip it this week. You can go next week. Fishing is fun, right? Fishing's a lot of fun. He skipped, they skipped again, they skipped another week, and pretty soon he just wandered off. You know, if we skip church, you know what we're doing? We're departing from the company where Jesus is leading us home to freedom, ultimate freedom. It's as if you just got out of the Cabanatuan One prison camp and you're like, oh, look, here's some pretty butterflies and a waterfall in the jungle. I'll go see that for a while. And while you're gazing at these beauties of the world, before you know it, a wire comes up behind you and catches you from some enemy hidden in the bushes, and he drags you back to camp. Don't miss church! This is where Jesus says, stick close to me, to my word, leading you home. And you are free, but be alert. I know a woman in Maine. I used to be at our Bible study. And at the Baptist Bible study I went to, her husband, she said, used to be a great preacher. He was an evangelist. He brought many people, thousands, I think, to Christ. But he didn't keep his guard up. He wasn't alert. And a little chink in his armor called sexual unfaithfulness was revealed. And he was stabbed there by the enemy. And he was brought back to camp. And he forsook Christ and said he was an unbeliever. And he may be in that prison camp to this very day, or dead. I know this is pretty serious, but friends, we're in a fight, okay? We are fellow soldiers. We're in a race. We are in a run with Christ to allied territory through enemy lands. There is still danger about. Don't take it lightly. For Peter said, if after people have escaped, say the word escape. Doesn't that sound like what we're talking about? If after they've escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled them in them and overcome, overpowered, then the last state for that man is worse than the first. It would have been better for him never to have known the way of righteousness, being freed, than after knowing that, to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them and go back like a sow is washed only to wallow in the mire and in the mud. And so what's the call of duty to us in Christ? Stick close to me, Jesus says, and be alert to the end. Endure. For he who endures to the end will be saved, says Jesus. And we share in Christ, says Hebrews, if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. Again, you have need of endurance, that you may do the will of God and receive what is promised, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 3, take care, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. We all have that in us. I feel the call from the woods and the jungle, depart, don't be so careful, relax. No, 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 not in this world. Be alert here. Be vigilant. You're soldiers, and you're with Christ, and you're free. Walk with him. And don't let down your guard. Be alert, for we're not yet in heaven. Right? So there's the warnings to us from the word today, from God. But are there any encouragements to you from the same captain and king? Well, there is great encouragements to you for your journey home. For, let's go back to Lieutenant Mucci. Let me ask you a question. Did that Army Ranger lead this death-defying raid with all these other rangers, penetrate enemy lines, get all the way in there, risk his life, break them out with great power and force, bring them to freedom, only to say, see you later, I'm off to Tahiti. He didn't abandon them. He didn't say, find your own way out. He said, follow me, because I know the way out. You just stick close to me, I'm going to get you there. That's the same thing our Lord Jesus Christ says to us. He says, I'm with you, always to the close of the age, and I will never forsake you, and I will never fail you. Isn't that great confidence for you today? For he is the shepherd in the midst of the throne, it says. And he said, and God says, and he will guide them, his people, to springs of living water. You know, through this life, We have a guide who's not going to depart. He'll lead us like Moochie did through every village, every jungle, every obstacle, all the way home. Isn't this great confidence? He also will lead us not only as our guide, but as our guardian. You know, when Moochie brought those people, broke them out of camp, do you think he had an easy go of it getting home? The Japanese counterattacked, did you know? Read the story. Read the book. If you're an English major like me, watch the movie. They came after him by the thousands, trying to get over this bridge. The Philippine fighters defended him, took care of them. No more enemy there. They came and tried to counterattack, crossing the river. They took care of them there. On the way home, Moochie would get on the radio and call home, and they'd send P-51s and fighters and P-61s racing overhead, removing every obstacle for the people. And the prisoner, I read it this week, he said, the sound of those planes was like music to our ears. It was the call of freedom, and we're going to get there. Jesus, I want you to know, is also a perfect guardian for you. He will keep you the whole way home. And Peter says, you're guarded now by God's power through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So you can say, the Lord's my helper. I'll not be afraid. What can man do to me? I will look on triumph on those who hate me. And also this, friends, he knows you're weak. He is not only a guide and a guard, but he is gracious to you. You know, he knows that you're disease-ridden. We just got out of camp, amen? We still got that disease in us of sin, the sin nature. We're troubled. We're not very strong. We've been malfed for a long time. You know what Moochie did on that raid? He brought these carts with him. And the weak, he put them on the carts and brought them there. Those who could walk, they'd walk. And he didn't fail or lose anybody. God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. He goes after you when you're strayed. He says, just confess your sins to me. I'm faithful and just. I will forgive your sins and cleanse you from every unrighteousness, and that's all day long. There was a guy at the camp who actually got missed. He was deaf. He was fell asleep in the latrine, and he gets up and the camp is open. He said, his best clothes, walked out, not great clothes, but he walked out. The Philippine fighters found him, told Moochie, and Moochie's like, bring him too. And he got saved. You know what? Jesus is going to keep you as well, because he's also this to you. Just like an army ranger, he doesn't leave his job half done. He is also faithful to you in all things, to keep you the whole way. Bring that man also, for this is the will of my Father, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but I'll raise him up at the last day. I'm sure, friends, that God, who began a good work in you, will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And no one can snatch us out of Jesus' hand or the Father's hand. None are greater than they. So we can be super confident today, and God wants you cheerfully bold on your journey home. Just at the same time, he says, we're still passing through danger zone. Still be alert, though. Be confident, be joyful, and be careful and alert to the steps to stick with me every step of the way. And soon, very soon, all this trouble, it's going to be past. I'll get you safely home. You'll be rescued not only now, but delivered there, home. And where? All the way across enemy lines, to Allied territory, to the ship, to the beach, to the ship, to the sea, all the way home to Kansas or wherever, to the ultimate true land of the free and the home of the brave, the kingdom of Christ in the world to come. In Jesus' name, amen.